Well, it's good to be here this morning, be in the camp meeting. I just want to say welcome to camp meeting. Welcome to the Fellowship of Bible-Based Churches. Good to be in the Lord's house. Appreciate Brother Dixon, the moderator. Appreciate everyone that's here this morning. Appreciate that good choir singing. Going to be looking in Genesis chapter 21, verses 14 through 21. When you find your place, you can stand with us. Brother James Power is talking about fella telling him, don't stop, just keep going. And I was thinking about Brother Clay Hicks before the service. He told me, he said, I drove, and I thought I never was going to get there. And he said, I kept driving, and I finally made it. And that's the way it is in this Christian walk. Let's keep driving. Let's keep going forward. We'll finally make it to the other side. Amen. Let's look in Genesis chapter 21, verse 14. And it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes and saw, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Lord, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house this morning, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for your word, Father. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would come upon me, Lord, and preach through me, Father. Let me get out of the way and hide me behind the cross, that I might preach the gospel this morning. I pray it be a blessing to people this morning. I pray it be a help to somebody this morning. Oh, Lord, Father, we task you to move in this service, God. We give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I'm real interested in verse 16 where it said, and she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. I'm interested in that. The worst thing I can possibly think of this morning is any parent could face is seeing the death of their own child. Amen. That'd be the worst thing I could possibly think of this morning. But you know something I got to realize, and I know God turned away from Christ because Christ became sin, but also, I believe God the Father could not bear to see the death of His only begotten. His only begotten Son. He had to turn away. He couldn't stand to see the death of Christ. He couldn't bear to see the spiritual death of His Son. Because His Son became sin. And when He became sin, He died spiritually. And He couldn't bear to see the death of His Son spiritually. But He couldn't bear to see the death of His Son's Spirit, the spirit of death. Amen. Upon His Son. Amen. And as I was looking at this story, I believe if you'll notice here and look in this story using the letters of Hagar's name, I'll not be long this morning, but I do have a message on my heart, and I believe God has laid this on my heart for this time and for this camp meeting. And in this story, using the letters of Hagar's name, I believe, first of all, you'll see some hope the H of her name. You'll see some hope in verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not." I'm telling you, there's hope when God hears us. Amen. When we begin to pray and begin to weep and call on God and God hears us, there's hope in that. Amen. He hears our wailing, our voice. I'm talking about this lady wasn't saying a lay me down to sleep kind of prayer. But she's wailing before God and crying out before God. She knows her child is about to die. But there's hope when she calls out on God and begins to wail and begins to weep. And God hears her. But then there's help. There's hope when God helps. You'll find in verse 18, he said, "Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand." He's giving her direction. But also there's help when he gives discernment. When she looks around, she sees something she hadn't seen before in verse 19. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. I'm glad God can open your eyes to things you ain't never seen before. When you're in hopeless places, when you're in helpless places, God can open your eyes and help you to see something you ain't never seen before. They'll not only help you today, but help you again and again and again and again throughout the wilderness. Amen. When God helps you see things you ain't never seen before, there's hope. Taking the second letter of her name, A, we'll see assistance here. There's assistance with a well. She's given a well and it gave health to the lad. But there was assistance in the wilderness. By the way, they never left the wilderness. But they had help in the wilderness. They had assistance in the wilderness. Amen. It gave them a home. Did you know God can give you a home even in the wilderness? Amen. I'm telling you, He may want to keep you in the wilderness. But if He keeps you in the wilderness, He'll keep supplying you with a well to help you to live through the wilderness. Amen. I don't believe I ever read where Paul really had a place to lay down his head. And we know that Christ never had a place to lay down his head. They stayed in the wilderness. They stayed in the fight. But throughout, God kept giving them a well and springing up in them some living water. Amen. I'm glad God can make the wilderness in our home. Amen. You'll see hope. You'll see assistance. But let me say, third of all, you'll see grace. Amen. This lady was a castaway, if you'll read a little bit early there. She was kicked out of her home. She was thrown into the wilderness. Amen. The lad was a castaway. He was kicked out of his home, thrown under some shrubs to die. She'd given up on him, threw him up under the shrubs, and just left him there to die. And she said, "I can't bear to see him die. I'm going to go over here, and I'll have to pray to God over here. I cannot bear to see this lad die." Cast out, caught empty. They had spent all that they had. Abraham had given a little bread and a little water, a bottle of water. But it had all been spent. They didn't have no more. And friend, they were caught empty. And we see here a child that was hurting. Amen. Needing help. But I'm glad that God, the Lord, was a caretaker. And He showed up with compassion and He showed up with grace. Amen. Amen. You'll not only see grace, you'll see acceptance. Amen. What did He say in verse 18? He said, "I'll make him a great nation." That's God accepting him. He said, "I'm not only going to nurse him back to health, and I'm not only going to help him in this wilderness, but I'm going to make him a great nation." That's acceptance. And God was with the lad, and he grew in verse 20. And then we see relief. Verse 20, "And God was with the lad, and he grew, and he became an archer." It's a relief. Listen here, friend, it's a relief to know that your child has found favor with God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Oh, I couldn't bear to see the death of my children, but I couldn't bear to see them living a life not filled with the Spirit of God and the power of God and the favor of God upon their life. Amen. It's a relief to know that your children are living for God and wanting to live for God. Have favor with God. God is with this lad until he dies. But he also has a future with God.
Amen.
God helped him to be a survivor.
Amen.
He kept him in the wilderness, but he still was a survivor. Amen. You see, he became an archer. That told me something. If he is an archer, that provided food for him, amen. But it also provided him with a fight. Amen. I'm glad God can provide you with food. He can provide you with a well. And he can prepare you and help you in this fight.
Amen.
He's a survivor, but not only that, he's a son. He's a son. He said, I'm going to make him a great nation. Amen. Hagar. Hope, assistance, grace, acceptance, relief. You see, hope and assistance, grace and acceptance, relief in this story. It's impossible not to see it. Amen. But what I'm really interested in this morning is in verse 16 when Hagar said, let me not see the death of the child. Can I say there's some things I just cannot bear to see to die? Can I say that this morning? There's some things I just cannot bear to see to die.
Amen.
Hagar, pray God, please hide my eyes from seeing this death. That's what she's really saying. Here are some things I pray I never see die. I'll give you four things, I'll be out of the way this morning. Things I cannot bear to see to die. And I'm talking spiritually here. Here's my prayer, friend. Let me not, by the way, the title of my message is, let me not see the death. Therefore, my prayer is, let me not see the death of, number one, my children. Worse than a physical death is a spiritual death. Even worse is a physical death and a spiritual death. I'm talking about your children dying without God. Oh my. I want to give my children something to help them to survive in this wilderness that we're living in.
Amen.
And in verse 14, we see Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Let me say this, as long as I have my kids, I'll pour into them the bread of life. That's Jesus. As long as I have my kids with me, I'll pour into them the bottle of water. That's the Holy Spirit. I'll give them everything that I can, but I cannot save their soul. I can't save my kids, but I can show them the bread of life. I can show them Jesus. I can pour Jesus into them. I can pour the Word of God into them. Amen. I can teach them Scripture. I can help them memorize Scripture. And I can tell them about the good Holy Ghost and what it's done for me. And I can give them a little bottle of water here and a little bread of life there. And I'll do that to the day I die as long as I have them. But friend, one day my kids and your kids are going to be in a wilderness. They're going to face a wilderness of this world, and they're going to need a well. They're going to need a well, amen. While my kids are with me, I'll pour into them what I have. I'll pour into them that there is a friend that will not depart. I'll pour into them there's a faith that will not doubt. If there's a fire that will not die. And thank God there's still a flock that will not drift. Amen. I'm going to pour it into them. And while my kids are with me, I'll pour into them that it matters how we go to church. Amen. What kind of Bible we read. Amen. Amen. What kind of preacher we have. What kind of church and what kind of worship we participate in and what kind of home we keep. I'm going to give them all the bread and all the water I can. Amen. I'll pour it into them. But when they are in the wilderness of this world and thrown under the shrubs, left to die by the devil and by this world, and they're spiritually unhealthy and they're spiritually ill, and all I've given to them has been spent,
I'm telling you, my children are going to have to cry out to God for themselves in that hour when they find themselves in the wilderness under the shut. Amen. And my God will have to supply the well then. And the Holy Ghost will have to fill their bottle up. And the Lord will have to nourish them back to spiritual health. I'm telling you, I can't save them. I can't help them in that moment. I'm helpless. But God can still hear their cry and give them away. Woo! Hallelujah. So here's my prayer. God help my lads to cry out. God help my lads to cry out that God might hear them in the wilderness. Brother John, you got three kids that hadn't made a profession of faith yet. Brother Toby's got a couple of kids, not an age of accountability just yet. I got two kids, not age of accountability. But one day they're going to get in the wilderness. And they're going to need some help. And it's my prayer, Brother Toby, that they can cry out. And God will hear their cry in the wilderness. And He will send the well and save their soul. Amen. God help my kids to cry out. Lord, hear their cry and send a whale their way. We're going to be in a wilderness of this world. God, let me not see the death, the spiritual death of my children. That's my prayer. God, I cannot bear to see my kids die in the wilderness of this world and go to hell. God, please send them away. God, walk with them all their days. Did you notice that God walked with him the rest of his days? I'm telling you, God can walk with your children the rest of the days of their life. I want to see my children walk with God the rest of the days of their life and be spirit-filled. Amen. God, send them away. That'll cause them to live a spirit-filled life. Amen. Let me say second, I cannot bear to see the death of my children. Let me not see the death of the clergy. I cannot bear to see a true man of God die spiritually. Let's look at 1 Kings 19, 4 through 9. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. There's a man of God. Found himself in a wilderness. And came, sat down under a juniper tree. He found a shrub to get under. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. For I'm not better than my father's. And he lay and he slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him. There's the angel of God showing up again. Amen. And said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake of bacon on the coals. There's the bread. Amen. And a cruse of water. There's the bottle of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him. Thank God for the second touch of the Lord. Amen. And said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went into the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb and the Mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And look at this. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. God restored him and enabled him to preach again. Hallelujah. I cannot bear to see the death of the clergy. I cannot bear to see a man of God, a true man of God, just lay down and die. Amen. Elijah traveled into this wilderness. A man of God will find himself in a wilderness at times. Elijah got under a juniper tree and said, oh Lord, take away my life. He felt like a castaway. He felt a thrown away. He felt used up. He felt like there was nothing left. All had been spent. He felt like laying down and just dying. We get that way sometimes as preachers. But Elijah, all he needed was some nourishment and a help from the Lord. And then we saw an angel show up in the story to nourish him. Verse 6, we see he needed a bread of life and he needed a bottle of water and he needed a touch. Amen. And he gets back his strength. And in verse 9, he gets a word from the Lord.
Amen.
Let me say, I cannot bear to see a man of God die spiritually.
Amen.
So here's my prayer. Here's my prayer. God, don't let me see the death of a man of God that preaches and lifts up his voice to preach the word of God.
Amen.
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 I'm talking about them old men of God that preach in the Spirit. Amen. Preaches the Savior and preaches the Scripture and preaches sacrificially.
Yes.
Amen. I'm telling you, I'm so sick of programs and dramas and productions and everything and puppets and everything else that goes on in churches, so-called churches. What we need is some old-time preachers that stand up and behind the pulpit, open the Word of God and preach the Word of God again.
Yes.
Amen. I can't bear to see that kind of clergy die out. I need that. I want that kind of clergy. Amen. A man that'll preach the Word of God. I told another day, I was preaching somewhere. I said, I'd take any day. You remember some of these old time preachers couldn't even read the Word of God. And they might get their wife to read the Word of God for them. But they would stand in the power of God behind the pulpit. And they'd shake and tremble. And they'd preach with power on them. I'd rather see that than in somebody that's well educated and don't know nothing about the Spirit of God or the power of God. God help me not to see the death of that kind of clergy.
Yes.
That preaches. I don't want to see the death of the kind of clergy that pampers and pets. Oh, what are you talking about? I'm talking about those that love his people. Amen. Cares about his people. I like them old men of God. They'll get up and say, I love you, church. And I love you, lost man. Friend, I'm telling you right now, he cares about people. He's more concerned about his people than his paycheck.
Amen.
Amen. That's the kind of man of God I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm talking about a man of God that's more concerned about the place, the church, instead of more about his position. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Boy, I'm telling you, there's some get all haughty and say, look at me, look what position I've got, look who I am, and look at my paycheck. I'm telling you, throw it out the door and forget it. We need to get back to the old men of God that care about people.
Amen.
Amen. Not concerned about a paycheck, not concerned about a position. There's some that are more concerned about power than they are their people. Amen. I'm saying that's just junk. Amen. Amen. We need folks that are, we need clergy, we need preachers, we need pastors that care about his people. Amen. Y'all know it's true. I ain't telling you no lie this morning. Every time I've been to Pine Ridge, when Brother C.L. Powers was pastor there, I've said this before at our church. I've seen him time and time again say, I love you. And begin to talk about times that he'd spent with his church. And he'd take 5, 10, 15 minutes sometimes just saying, I love you, church. I love you, church. You're friends of mine and I love you. Where's those kind of preachers nowadays?
Amen.
Friend, I'm telling you right now, we need preachers that will pamper and pet a little bit, amen, and love his people. Brother Michael Dollar preached last Friday night, and he made this statement. He said, I won't let my kids sit under a preacher that all he does is blister and bust all the time. He said, they got to be some love there. Amen. I like that. Amen. We need those kind of... I cannot bear letting me not see the death of those kind of preachers.
Amen.
Kind of preachers that preaches, the kind of preachers that pets and loves on his people, the kind of preachers that practices, amen, lives a life for God,
amen.
Lives holy and lives humble,
amen.
And lives with a heavy heart. Oh, I want to see that kind of preacher. God, please don't let me see my preacher die spiritually.
Amen.
Please don't let me see this preacher, myself, die spiritually.
Amen.
Oh, it'd kill me this morning. Brother Toby, you got sideways and never had the Spirit of God on you again. I thank God for my man of God that preaches to me and has the Spirit of God on him when he preaches and has an unction from the Holy One. I cannot bear to see that die. I cannot bear to see these old preachers that love the Lord, like Brother Dixon that preaches in power, that gets up here and cannot hold back because you're so full, brother. I cannot bear to see that kind of preacher die. God, help me not to see that kind of preacher die. Woo! I cannot bear to see the clergy die. Let me say, third of all, I'm moving on. Let me not see the death of the church. I cannot bear to see the church die spiritually. If you can, there's something wrong with you, friend. If you can just see it dwindle away and fall all to pieces and die and nothing there anymore, there's something wrong with your heart this morning. The church, I'm talking about the church. Psalms 115:17 said, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down in silence. Imagine, here Mount Oliver, over at Brother Vernon Willis's church, Brother Toby's church, Pine Ridge, wherever you want to talk about. I'm talking about a church that's on fire for God, has a power of God on it. And you walk in one day and there's no spirit there no more. I've been back to those kind of churches. And it rips my heart out. Oh, I couldn't imagine coming to Truth Baptist Church one morning and there'd be no spirit there. No Holy Ghost. No shouting anymore. No power with God. No more sharing. I'm talking about when the women get up and the men get up and they testify. Amen. Yes. And they get up and with tears in their eyes and the power of God on them and they're with a thankful heart, full of a thankful heart and say, I just want to say, thank you Lord for what you've done for me. Yes. Oh, where are those old time women that used to stand up with the power of God on them and testify? Why have we pushed them to the side? Why have we stuck them under the shrub? Bring them back out and let them live. Let them live in our churches. Amen. I've heard stories of my wife tell and Brother Toby tell about Miss Hicks used to stand up in church and she'd say, can't say much. But I just thank God for what He's done for me. Amen. The power of God be all over her and the meeting would break out. I'm talking about that kind of church. I can't bear to see the death of a church. No spirit, no shout, no sharing, no singing, no spiritual singing like this choir did this morning. No sermon, only purity, motivational speeches, no scripture. No King James Bible. I'm telling you, let me not see it. Let me not see the death of the church. No Son. No Son of God in the midst. No Jesus. Most of all, no saints. No godly people living for God and full of God. Sometimes I just want to turn my head from seeing the old time churches dying. Please, if somebody is killing a church, if somebody's killing a church, run them off.
Amen.
I can't bear to see it die.
Yep.
Hey, listen to me. This may be a little strong, but I want to tell you, run off that sorry preacher that's killing the church.
Amen.
Run off that sorry crowd that's killing the church. It's not worth it. We need to see a church alive. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Here's my prayer. Let me not see the death of my church. Send a well full of water in the Truth Baptist Church. Send a well full of water to Mount Olive Baptist Church. Send a well full of water to Pine Ridge. Amen. Send a well full of water to Ridge Road. Amen. Send it, Lord. We're in a wilderness and our churches are dying. Let me not see the death, fourth of all, and I'm closing. Let me not see the death of this camp meeting. of this church communion, of this church closeness,
amen,
this church community. I cannot bear to see this camp meeting die. Did you say amen right there? I'm talking about this fellowship among us.
Amen.
Fellowship of Bible-based churches. I want to see it live on. 1 John 1:7 said, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light,"
amen,
listen to this, "we have fellowship,
yeah,
one with another." The reason we have fellowship is because we walk in the light as He is the light.
Amen.
Amen. Hagar and this little lad was in a wilderness together. Both alike, they were thirsty. They were both dying, really.
Amen.
And our churches are in this wilderness together this morning. Amen. Truth, Pine Ridge, Mount Olive, Ridge Road, whatever church may be represented here this morning, we're in this thing together. We're in this wilderness together. And our kind of churches and our kind of clergy and our kind of clinging and cleaving to God has been tossed under the shrubs by the world and by Satan and even by the religious crowd. And they want us to die out. But our God, woo! I said our God has sent us a well of water this morning. Hallelujah! And it's called camp meeting, where we've come together, together at the well, and get us a drink to go home. Amen. Our God has sent us the water, the fellowship. Our God is with us. And not only that, our God's going to take these true churches, this true camp meeting, and He's going to raise it up among all nations one day. Our churches have been fought and ridiculed and bashed. But here's my prayer. God, don't let me see the death of the communion between our churches. God, don't let me see the closeness of our clergy and our churches die out.
Amen.
Amen. I like to see you. I like seeing Brother Dixon and Brother Toby and Brother Vernon and these preachers get together and shake hands and talk about the Bible and begin to cry and weep and thank God for what He's done. Amen. Don't let me see that closeness dry out and die out. Don't let me see the church community we have here die. Don't let me see this camp meeting die. Here's my prayer. God, I need the fellowship this camp meeting provides.
Amen.
We need this, friend.
Amen.
We need to come together, even if it is once a year. We need to come together,
amen,
and have fellowship. I need the friendships this camp meeting produces.
Amen.
Most of all, I need the fruit this camp meeting parts out among us. There's fruits of preaching, fruits of praising, and fruits of praying. It gives me something. It gives me a well to keep me going. God, let this camp meeting be a well full of water in the wilderness.
Amen.
You know what this camp meeting can do as a well of water from God? It can nourish our flocks when we go back home. It can nourish our fields that we're in. As an evangelist, I'm on the field. It can nourish my field. And your faith. It can nourish our families.
Amen.
And it can nourish our future.
Amen.
I cannot bear to see this camp meeting die. I need this well full of water. I'm closing with this. Verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad. Ain't that good news?
Yeah. Right.
The lad had to cry out from among the shrubs to get a well full of water. The lady had to cry out and weep and wail and say, "Let me not see the death," in order to get a well full of water. So here's my question to you. Will you cry out with me? Will you weep with me? Will you wail with me and say, "Let me not see the death of my children. Let me not see the death of the clergy, the old men of God. Will you not let me see the death of my church and my camp meeting? My church community. Will you cry out with me and weep with me and wail with me and say, please send a well full of water in this wilderness I'm in, God. For my children, for your children, for my clergy, for my church, for this camp meeting.
Amen.
I'm telling you, when God sends a well full of water, it will be enough to carry us through the wilderness the rest of our lives.
Amen.
John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him, listen, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You want to live on, friend? You got to get into the well. I'm done this morning, but I want to close with this. Fill my cup, Lord. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that shall never run dry.
Yes.
So my brother, if the things this world gave you leaves hunger that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you. If you kneel to Him and humbly pray, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting soul of mine.
Yes.
Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more.
Yes.
Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Amen.
I'm a praying for a well full of water. For my church, for my children, for my clergy, for this camp meeting. I ask you to pray with a sincere heart, wailing and weeping, praying that same prayer. I'm finished this morning. Come on, Brother Dix. Amen.